B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm so happy for Rob and for the nation. We need Gronk. Gronk back in the NFL is amazing. We get to see that great player and personality back in the NFL with the coronavirus. This is what we needed. I called Rob Captain America. He came to save the day. He's definitely an American hero right now. We love you, Rob.
Yeah, wee! Rosenhaus, American hero. Rob Gronkowski to save the day because he's going to Tampa. Give me a break. Hour two of the program, it's about Belichick, but that doesn't mean it's a bad thing. See, I think it's about Belichick, but it's a good thing. Not, you know, what? You want them to re-up multi-year. So for those guys to stay, folks, for Brady and Gronkowski to stay, Bill would have had to change how he operates. He would have had to, on the fly, 50 years into his football career, become a different guy just for those two. They would have had to pay through the nose, top of the market, big contracts for guys who are past their prime, certainly with Brady, who can't practice like they used to, don't show up in the offseason, whose off-field interests are now outstripping their on-field interests. I'm sorry. I think Tom Brady cares more about TB12 than the Patriots. I felt that transition was made in the last couple of years, and I think it's the same with Gronkowski. He cares more about his off-field brand than he does about the on-field winning. So they were supposed to re-up big contracts. The coach was supposed to, you know, change his ways for that? I mean, no, I don't do that. So I do think this is about Belichick, but I think it's a good thing. Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports, writes this, Maz. The unthinkable end is ultimately a Belichick story. One where Brady, Kraft, and a litany of other stars, including Gronkowski, were merely significant characters in a history-making narrative about a head coach, a relentless Hall of Famer, meaning Belichick, who will be remembered as the greatest ever at his craft, but also the architect of his dynasty's demise. So, like, that's just a good line. It's true. Bill's going to be credited for building the thing. He's also going to be credited for taking this apart. Now, we'll see what comes next. Maybe the next paragraph is, and he rebuilt them into a champion. But at this point, he will also be known as the architect of the dynasty's demise or dismantling, if you will. Is that wrong?
Well, so I was just going to say, let me interject here for a minute, because I'm not sure I agree with that. If Bill had done it the way he wanted to do it, he would have moved on from Brady and had Garoppolo here. He would have traded Gronk and gotten a first-round pick. And so I think in a lot of ways he was prevented from doing his work as an architect. I think that's part of the problem here. Now, look, if you want to say to me that Belichick's greatest flaw was also his greatest strength, or the other way around, his strength, greatest strength was his greatest flaw, which is his unbending focus and demand. Yes, absolutely, that there was a negative that came along with that. But I have a hard time saying he's the one responsible for taking this down when he drafted Garoppolo and wanted to keep him, and he had Gronk's ass out the door 2 years ago.
It's a fair point. But I think Robinson is right to say that, and as you just mentioned as well, it's Bill's style that drove those guys away.
Sure.
Okay?
Sure.
And as Robinson writes, as it turns out, Gronkowski did not bail on football in 2019. He didn't even bail on New England. In reality, his one season away from the game was a flight to freedom from Belichick. That's undeniable now. The fact remains that neither the Patriots Hall of Fame quarterback or Hall of Fame tight end wanted to finish their careers under Belichick. And then Robinson, you know, gives this great quote that I had forgotten about, that Gronkowski said during his Fox pre- and post-game stuff.
Right.
After, and this game I totally forgot about. Do you remember one thing about the Eagles game this year?
Oh, it was an ugly game.
Yeah,
it was an ugly
game.
They went at like 17-10 or something. It was an ugly game.
I mean, I can't. This is part of the reason why I want to turn the page. Like, I can recall almost every regular season game from 2001 to 2007 or so. The last couple years, there's games that they've won that I can't remember a single play. I can't remember a single play from that Eagles win this year. I forgot they even played the Eagles.
Yeah.
Like it,
the only memorable thing is that's the game that Mohamed Sanu got hurt and was never the same.
I don't remember. I mean, I remember. Okay, so I remember that punt return. I don't remember it against the Eagles. I don't remember a single. This is why I want them to turn the page. Things gotten kind of boring to me, anyway. Do you remember a single thing about that Eagles game? Anyway, the Patriots won. The Patriots won the game. They went to 9-1, and this was one of those press conferences where Brady was Mr. You know, grumpy pants after the game. And, you know, Gronkowski said on the Fox postgame show, he said he's so frustrated. It's like, yo, you guys are 9-1. That's one part I don't miss about being in New England, said Gronkowski. Hands down, I'm not going to lie. I don't miss that. They're frustrated, but they're 9-1. They win a game against Philly last week. We lost them 2 years ago in the Super Bowl. They should be happy. Instead, you're sitting there Sunday night thinking, what did I do wrong? No, that's not the feeling you should be having. So, you know, Gronkowski said it right there. That's why Gronkowski's gone. And Robinson writes that his comments like that explain a lot about the mindset Belichick often instituted to win. Players always described it as unrelenting, right up to the point when a player was either picking confetti out of his hair or preparing for a parade in Boston. Robinson writes, in the years that did not end in a title, like 2019, that soul-sucking process proved to be extremely hard to endure for guys like Gronkowski and Brady, either because they weren't having fun or weren't getting their salaries blown out, or had a tougher time recovering physically and mentally to commit to that existence all over again. He says, the end of era-defining dynasties are always more telling than the beginning. At the end, we see the depth of the stress fractures. The seams come apart. And finally, we begin to understand precisely when, and I'll say why, the curtain began to fall. And so it was. It was Belichick's style that drove those two out. The question is that more reflection on Bill or more reflection on the players? And I say it's more reflection on the players.
Well, I mean, look, Bill Styles is style. The one thing I'll give him credit for is he's never changed it, right? But I do think that with most people, that style will burn out. And so the other thing is, as he's going over the, you know, the 9-1, and most people would be happy with that. And do you think Brady was happy with the way the offense was playing and he was playing? Because I think Brady and Belichick have similar traits or similar demands and expectations. I think that's part of the reason why it worked so well and lasted as long as it did. The only difference is Brady had better people skills.
Maz, it's also, I feel like, kind of inaccurate to say that Belichick's been so consistent for this whole time. It's not true, because you had the Malcolm Butler decision from a few years ago. He had never done anything that petty and foolish before.
Well, so that's true. And again, but in terms of what his demands were from his players, Murray, I feel, and I'm not telling you he didn't get petty or personal, but I think that
Brady changed more. Brady changed more.
No question. No question.
I mean, there was a time when he first came in, Murray, I mean, never mind the first guy in, last guy out, that whole thing. He totally eschewed, he totally rejected, promoting himself. He turned down so many commercial ventures early on in his career. He was the anti-Peyton Manning. You turn on the TV and Peyton Manning was on every single commercial, and Tom just did like one or two things and he turned most down, and, you know, he was all about football, and, you know, now it's just the opposite. Now he's all over the place. Now it's like, you know, try live, like he's, you know, Mr. Pitchman, and he's totally changed. Bill, I feel like, has just gotten worse. You know, he's evolved too, but more along the same lines as Brady. Brady's completely changed.
Oh, gosh. I mean, at the beginning, didn't he insist on doing the press conferences in front of his locker because, you know, he didn't want to separate himself from the team? And, you know, and it felt to me like at the end, and I know they pushed him to do it, don't get me wrong, but Brady to me is like, there's no doubt that, look, I understand getting sick of Bill. Like, that's easy. Who wouldn't, for crying out loud, in 5 minutes? But to me, it's how they reacted to it that changed.
Okay, again, I promise your calls. You're all lined up. Mary in Manchester. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mike. So there was a report that came out that Bruce Arians said that it was Tom Brady that suggested that they go after Gronk, which I think lends credence to what Maz was saying yesterday, that this may have been going on behind the scenes for a while, which I think sheds light on Belichick's demeanor in that first press conference after Brady retired, where, you know, he didn't really want to say anything nice and just said, oh, it's all water under the bridge. Maybe this was going on behind the scenes, and he knew that this was going to reflect poorly on him.
You bet. Or he was just pissed, Mary. It's like these two guys have been jerking us around for a couple of years. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, suck Brady's ass because these two guys have put us in a bad spot and they've been jerking us around for a couple of years. So it's water under the bridge. Next question. I mean, that's what I said last week. I, you know, Bill was petty about the thing. It wasn't very classy, but, you know, it was reflective of the way he felt. And I think he's a little justified.
Well, so look, again, with Gronk, I get it. With Brady, at the time, we didn't know it. And so it does shed a little light on it. I still think he could have been a little bit more gracious with regard to Brady. In any case, there's no doubt this thing's been going on for weeks, months, maybe longer than that. As soon as this thing started to break yesterday, that Gronk wanted to come back and that he wanted to play for Tampa Bay, to me, the like, deal, done. It's already done. We're going to find out here when the draft kicks off. And as it turned out, we found out within a matter of minutes.
Man, has this been going on for 2 years?
Oh, for sure.
2 years. When they really started jerking Brady around at the contract, he said, that's it. And his little bobos followed along with him. And Gronkowski followed along with him. You heard the Curran cut. Gronkowski felt like, you know, was threatening to walk away in the summer of 2017, for crying out loud. Both he and Gronkowski stopped going to off-season workouts 2017, 2018. Brady stuck it out one more year. Gronkowski didn't. And they were gone. And somehow, miracle of miracles, you still won one. You still won one as an 11-5 bye team. You still won one, but the whole thing started a couple of years ago, I think.
Oh, look, I mean, for sure it did. And I'll tell you, one of the things I find interesting is that Gronk clearly was willing to get out before Brady was. Maybe the physical problems were part of it, where he just said, I'm done. And he screwed the team in the process, but he also screwed Brady. I mean, he left Brady without a tight end last year, which was a big thing for them, given the shortage of weapons and given the premier, the emphasis that they put on tight ends to begin with. But clearly, Brady didn't have any reservations about taking him back.
Steven Dedham, quick.
Yeah, a question. Like yesterday, Felger, you said that it was basically, you know, Gronk screwed the Patriots over a couple of years ago when he left them high and dry, didn't say whether or not he was coming back, and they didn't know what to do with the draft. I mean, I blame that on Belichick. They should have been in on a tight end in that draft.
Yep.
The writing was on the wall with Gronkowski. He looked like the Tin Man from the Wizard of Oz the way he moved on the field. He was done. They should have drafted a tight end that year, regardless whether or not he let them know. I blame Belichick for that.
It's a good point. They should have put a deadline on him. They shouldn't have allowed Gronkowski to jerk him into free agency. Shouldn't have allowed him. Should have said, Rob, we're not going to let you play the game. No back. We need to know now. We need to know now so we can plan free agency, the draft, the whole thing. Now, I think he might have retired by the draft. You know, by then he might have retired, but free agency was done and they lost out on a couple of players. So I think that's a fair second guess, Murray. Quick.
Yeah, that's where I think Patriots fans should be. You know, you're right to be mad at Gronkowski completely screwing up last year's offseason, and you miss out on guys like Jared Cook, who, again, there was interest, but he was like, well, I don't know, is Gronk coming back? I don't want to play behind him. I'm going to go to New Orleans instead.
We continue with your reaction right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports, Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, I know that it might be a little bit over dramatic to say that there's a problem in Patriotsville, but that's the first thing that went through my mind. Was it's interesting that there was at one point there was speculation that the Patriots were trying to trade Gronk to Detroit, and Gronk threatened to retire, and then he came back and played that final season, and then he actually retires, and the thing that brings him back is an opportunity to play with Tom Brady elsewhere. Like that, it's hard for me not to look at the Patriots and wonder why he didn't want to continue playing there, and it makes you think about what he's experienced there with Bill Belichick. And I know they won a lot, and I'm sure none of them would change anything, but it seems clear that both Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski wanted a break from playing football up there, not necessarily a break from playing football.
Dominic Foxworth, ESPN, nailed it. Question is that an indictment on Bill or an indictment on those players? And is there trouble in Foxborough? Do you think Bill Belichick has a trouble
has a problem relating to players, Maz and Murray. Murray, I'll take your thought first, that that he has trouble getting players to buy in, and this is something that is a concern going forward with Bill.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how it can't be. I mean, I think you look at these two guys in particular, the two greatest players in franchise history, and I think they would have rather retired than actually go play for him. I mean, that's what Gronk actually did. And if Brady, if he, granted, the free agent market wasn't that strong for him, but if he ended up getting like a real kind of suck deal put in front of him by Tampa, and the choices were retire or go back to New England, he would have retired too. So, look, there's going to be guys that obviously went back, your Slaters and McCourties, that are always going to be good soldiers. But, I mean, this is a big precedent here. And now that these two have left and basically told the world, like, nah, I'm not playing for that guy anymore, I think it's going to have an effect. You'd be crazy not to think that.
So I think... Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, I think players have trouble relating to Bill. That's what I think. I think it's more the other way around, and that's going to become more and more of an issue because these millennials, and I hate to pick on the millennials all the time, but I think that they're used to being coddled and that now they're running into a coach that's as old school gets, and in fact, you know, tougher and harder than any other coach they've ever had, and maybe from any other era. And so am I worried about going forward? The buy-in of Patriots players? Yes, I am. I'm worried about that. I think that Tom Brady was the greatest player in the history of the league, and he bought in. And when you as a coach have that, it makes your demands on other players easier. And now I think for Bill, it's going to be a little more challenging.
Well, yeah, he's got to reset it. That's for sure. He's got to prove it with a different group. But I don't think it's a team problem. I think it was a Brady problem and his little cabal, his little buddies, you know, between Edelman, Gronkowski, Amendola, Brady, that little, you know, circuit of players, that little cartel of players, Bill lost, you know, surprisingly. Like, those are the guys he lost. I didn't feel like he lost the rest of the roster. Do you feel the team doesn't play hard, doesn't take coaching, doesn't, like, is undisciplined? I mean, I've felt that in the 20 years Bill's been here, I feel like that's happened a couple times. And there was a stretch there in 09, that 2009 team with Randy Moss and Adalys Thomas and Sean Springs and those guys. He lost a team there for sure. But he didn't lose Brady at that time. Now at the end here, he's sort of crazy, but he lost the Brady, Gronkowski, Edelman, Amendola, that sort of group of players. He lost them. But I don't think he's lost the roster. I haven't seen any indication of that. Now let's see if they start out 2-5. You know, that's when the rubber's going to meet the road. We'll see. But I don't see a team problem. I see a Brady problem right now. Back to your phones. We got Brian in Nantucket. What do you got, Brian?
Michael, I hope the family's well.
You too.
I want to talk about you saying the page is turned. For me, the book's closed. We spend so much time watching the NFL, watching Brady, watching Gronk. The NFL has done nothing for the major fan. Like, why is there a 66-year-old guy looking up at a field goal post to determine whether a ball goes over it? Why is there a referee that saw Keneal Harry's foot go out of bounds when it never went out of bounds? Why is there no cameras on the goal line? The NFL is broken. And this whole Brady controversy, they love the controversy in the NFL. How is the New Orleans Saints, how can you be a fan of the New Orleans Saints anymore in the NFL after watching the egregious call that happened 2 years ago?
Okay, Brian, I'm just going to cut you off. I mean, you're talking about a whole nother topic. I don't feel the way you do one bit. I mean, so what now? Because the Brady dynasty's done. You're done with football and you're going to, you know, pick at all those other things.
That's what it feels like.
If Brady and Gronkowski were still here and you were still Super Bowl favorites, you'd put up with the lousy replay and the lousy officiating and everything. But now that they're gone, you're going to, like, come on. Yeah, still a huge, huge league, huge interest. I'm hugely interested in it. I'm more interested in the Patriots now than I've been in years. It's so much more, as evidenced by that Philadelphia thing last year. Like when that quote, you know, after they beat the Eagles to go 9-1 last year, I'm like, huh? They beat the Eagles? I don't remember a single play from that game. And there are so many games in these last, what, 3-4 years. I don't remember a single thing. They all just blend together. And so I'm ready for a new thing. I think the team has gotten worse, but they've gotten more compelling if you can, you know, if you follow. Mike in the truck. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I think this Gronkowski trade makes me believe now more than ever that Brady had no intention of re-signing with the Patriots. He all but admitted to Howard Stern that he knew at the beginning of the season he wasn't going to come back, and I'd be willing to bet he told Gronkowski that and just said, listen, take a year off, get healed up. We're going to be somewhere else next year.
Okay, do you guys agree with that? And here's the thing. If the Pats had offered Tom Brady the Tampa contract, 2 years fully guaranteed, and Bill had said, you know, and again, all the Brady people, the Gaspers of the world, and, you know, Stephen A., Bill just had to be nice to him. So if Bill talked really nice to Tommy and told him how great he was and how much we respect you and love you, if he kissed his ass and gave him 2 years, $50 million guaranteed, just like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did, would Brady be back?
So you're talking about after the season now?
I'm talking about 3 weeks ago.
Okay. My instinct is that after the season, probably not. I think by then it had sort of, you know, Brady had made up his mind and said that's it. And he also knew he wasn't going to get it from the Patriots. Had they done it back in August, yeah, I think he would have stayed.
And is there any way they could have talked Gronkowski back in?
No. I don't think so. No. No, last year's proof that he didn't want to play for Bill anymore because he was obviously able to, but it's just like now I'm taking a year off.
Okay, so they would have gotten Brady back if they had done it last year. Hopefully fully committed. You know, who knows? But fully committed Brady, but no Gronkowski. The only way to get Gronkowski back with him was to fire Bill.
Correct.
Should they 2 years ago have fired Bill and re-signed Brady and Gronkowski?
No.
Murray?
Yeah. Ultimately, yes. Yeah. I mean, because they're going to give you a better chance to actually win another championship than the coach.
To win one is true. The next 5-10 years, it's Belichick gives you the better chance. By far, he's going to be here.
We'll see.
Has a chance to be here the next 5-10 years. Brady Gronkowski had no chance to be here the next 5-10 years. Michael in Tewksbury. Go ahead, Michael.
All right, guys, two quick points. First of all, you can ask somebody to take less money in a happy environment, or guys will take more money to be unhappy. You can't ask them to be both, be an unhappy environment and take less money. So that's the first thing. You know, the second thing is you look at Gronkowski, we're being very critical of him, but what would you rather do? Fun in the sun with Bruce and Tom, or up here with doom and gloom Bill catching hospital passes from Jared Stidham in a rebuild?
So it's too bad Gronkowski wouldn't want to come back and be a Patriot. I understand why he's doing it, but is he doing it because it's an easier way? It's the easier way out? I mean, it is. People go to Florida.
Oh, he definitely is.
Who said it? It was a great line. It's America's waiting room? Not waiting room. Whatever. It's where you go when you're...
Heaven's waiting room or something.
Yeah, heaven's waiting room. Right, exactly. Heaven's waiting room is Florida. You go there when you've got 1 foot out the door and then you know, ultimately both feet, and that's where you go when it's you start petering out. And, of course, Gronk's going there because it's easier. Is that something you respect? I mean, you can understand it at a human level. He's going because it's easier. Nice weather, easier coach, easier time of it. It'll be more fun. Like, you can understand it, but do you respect that? Versus someplace you can really excel and grind it out. You'd have to work harder and put up with more, but you ultimately can achieve more. And I mean, that's the whole point about being up here and grinding it out up here in the rat race versus, you know, taking 1 foot out the door in Florida. And you can apply that to a million things in life.
Yeah, you can only deal with working for an a-hole for so long. I know, I so don't blame him for leaving now. Having to deal with all that crap after 20 years, and especially in the last 5 to 10 when you realize you're the more important piece, screw.
You think Gronkowski was more important than Belichick?
In terms of the, well, yeah. I mean, with Brady, in tandem with Brady.
Hmm. Go ahead, Maz.
No, I was just saying, in Gronkowski's case, in retrospect, he left $10 million on the table, at least temporarily, and with the chance that he would never see it again. Now, look, as it turns out, he's going to get his money. He's going to get it from the Bucks. But my guess is that Belichick didn't think Gronk was going to retire. He thought he was just getting yanked around some more, and that's why ultimately they, you know, weren't able to. They weren't all that aggressive in going to get a tight end, and then ultimately Gronk screwed him.
Okay, here's what I'd like to do. We have on the schedule to throw for the next round of quarterbacks, which I still want to do because, Stu, I know this Gronkowski Zoom thing is going to be painful. It's going to piss me off, and I'm not going to want to stick. It's going to get all wonky and laggy, and it's not going to sound good. It's going to be annoying, and we're going to want to bag out of it, right?
Yeah.
So why don't we go ahead, throw for the quarterbacks. We'll check in on Gronk. If it sounds fine, maybe we'll stick with it. I think the simulcast is going to go to the Gronk Zoom thing. You know, good luck with that, guys. Enjoy it. Enjoy the, you know, mute your phone.
I'm watching the PR person right now futz around with his camera and his microphone.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's no sound of it, so I can't fade it up.
Get ready for all the futzing. We're still going to throw for the quarterbacks. We'll check in on the Gronkowski thing if it's worthwhile, but that's coming up next after Murray's
up. Oh, look, Gronk's playing with his phone.
Yeah. Coming up after the update where Murray will give you the latest on the Red Sox. Their punishment is in, by the way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Belger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
That's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
This league is not about drafting a quarterback number one and dominating the league. This league is about lots of great quarterbacks falling in the draft to better coaches. Lamar Jackson fell to the really well-run, smartly coached Ravens. A lot of bad quarterback teams passed on him. Browns passed on Carson Wentz. Dan Marino dropped in the draft to Hall of Famer Don Shula. Aaron Rodgers dropped in the draft to a really good roster and a patient team that allowed him to grow, the Green Bay Packers. Russell Wilson drops to Pete Carroll, and Belichick gets Brady in the sixth. This league, there are very few take a number one and dominate the league. It doesn't work that way. This league is taking advantage of bad GMs and lousy owners and marginal scouting staffs. So you look at right now in the NFL, look at the quarterbacks dominating. Russell Wilson went to the third. Patrick Mahomes, 10 teams passed on him. Lamar Jackson, end of the first round. Deshaun Watson, Chicago took Ryan Tannehill. Aaron Rodgers dropped. The rich get richer, not only in football, but often in life. They make better decisions.
I thought that was a nice point by our guy Colin Coward there. Never mind Montana dropping to the third. Johnny Unitas was a ninth round draft pick at the time. Brett Favre went in the second round. Drew Brees went in the second round. Roger Staubach, at the time he was drafted, Maz, was his 10th round pick. I know there were fewer teams, but you add up the list of great, great quarterbacks who fell versus those who were taken number one overall, and never mind the guys he mentions now, Russell Wilson, good point. Mahomes kind of fell. He was the second quarterback taken. Deshaun Watson was the third that year. He left out Dak Prescott in the third. Not that he went to a smart team, but the point being, like, well, this is all a backdrop to the Patriots and their great coaching and maybe someone falling, and that's why I play that sound, and that's sort of the point. You add up those guys versus the number one overall picks, and there were some good ones. Peyton Manning, for sure.
Elway.
Troy Aikman, Elway, Steve Young. You know, I'm not telling you it's a complete list of bums, but when you look at the number one overalls, you're just as likely to get, you know what, a Jamarcus Russell, David Carr, Tim Couch, Jeff George, Sam Bradford, Jameis Winston, Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield, you know. Like, there's a lot of those guys when really are the greats of the greats, usually the quarterback that drops to the smart team. So that's what we're looking at here. These are day two considerations on the quarterback board, Maz. Tell me what you got going on over there now.
Okay, so basically this is a group of five players. These are all the ones that should drop in the mid-rounds. So some of the names we've already discussed, Jacob Eason, Jake Fromm, and Jalen Hurts are the big ones in this group. There are also a couple of other guys. These were basically players ranked 5 through 8 on most big boards. Okay, again, the 2, 3, and 4 quarterbacks are the only other ones. We'll do them later. And we're not even including Burrow. And we picked from the bums. But the other guys that are sort of in that middle class, they're really only about 5 names when you get down to it. Those are the 5, including the 3 I mentioned.
Okay,
so you ready?
I'm ready for you, Maz.
Okay, so here we go. Now, you know I have a predisposition here towards Jake Fromm of Georgia.
Are you aiming?
I put him in the middle so that if I did aim for him and I miss even by a little, I could hit any one of, you know, of the four other guys. So the point is, I wanted to make it tough for myself, and I'm not going to aim. Okay,
yeah,
I'm a good, like, 15 feet away from this board.
Okay.
So here you go.
All right.
Okay? I just hit Jalen Hurts of Oklahoma.
Jalen?
All right. Okay, I'm sorry.
Jalen Hurts of Oklahoma. All right. Let's go to the draft magazine, shall we?
I'm just going to double check that because my eyes are bad, but I'm pretty sure it's him.
Go check. Okay. Murray, before he, just so we can get confirmation, are you in on Jalen Hurts?
I am. If they use one of these third rounders, if we drop to the fourth, I think he's an intriguing prospect. I think it's someone that Josh McDaniels would be lusting to work with because of his athletic ability and kind of sucked in the pocket and benefited from being in Lincoln Riley's offense there. But, you know, if nothing else, I like how he handled himself after he got benched for Tua when he was still in Alabama. It's not like he bitched and moaned about it and was a baby about it.
Didn't he quit and go somewhere else?
Oh, please. Like, he wasn't as good as Tua, so he had to go find another school to go play at. It happens all the time in college football.
Is that who you actually
hit? Hurts. Yep, it was Jalen Hurts.
Okay. Strengths. Excellent athlete for the position, possessing above-average straight-line speed, elusiveness, vision, balance through contact, and toughness. It sounds like a running back. Big and athletic enough to warrant exploring a conversation to receiver? I'm sorry, to exploring a conversion to receiver, running back, or safety if quarterback doesn't work out. But he does possess plenty of arm strength to make every throw, rifling long passes to the opposite sideline, can drop his arm slot and snap off quick BBs through tight windows, taking advantage of defenders caught in the middle between coverage and rushing toward him in run support.
You got to be able to snap off those BBs.
He's 6'1", 218 is Jalen Hurts. I don't love the size. Weaknesses, possesses only zip code accuracy. Well, that's great.
So do I.
Possesses only zip code accuracy, routinely forcing his receivers to adjust to poorly thrown and mistimed balls, very much on display at the Senior Bowl, by the way, that limit yards after the catch. Impressive completion percentage at Oklahoma was inflated by easy, quick screens and dump-offs to backs.
Yeah, totally. You can totally see that.
He possesses a compact frame, well-suited to absorbing punishment, but has below-average height for the position, too reckless with the ball, holding on to it too long and earning ugly sacks, throws late into coverage and risks turnovers, needs to do a better job of protecting the ball as a runner, rarely covering it with both hands and putting it on the ground too often, Maz.
Yeah, I told you, I don't love the Hurts idea. When this first came up, to me, he just does not feel like a great fit for what they want to do. Now, if they're willing to change and McDaniels wants a guy that can run around and Saban had good things to say about him, then who the hell knows? But I lean more towards a guy like Fromm. If I were the Patriots and both guys were available, to me, I would pick Jake Fromm.
Okay, Jalen Hurts, put him on the board. Meanwhile, Gronkowski's doing his introductory press conference in Tampa on Zoom. I'll just check in. Stu, are we able to pot him up?
Obviously, you got the sun, the ocean, all the other possible distractions that about. See those as things that you kind of have to take into account because that wasn't a part of life in Foxborough?
Nah, to tell you the truth, I don't think that will be a distraction at all. If anything, you can use that into your advantage to enjoy the sunshine a lot more. But like I said, we've learned many things. I've learned many things here. With the Patriots organization, and that's one thing is to block out the noise. And that's one thing I'm going to bring with me to wherever I go is block out the noise. I mean, there's no reason to, listen to all the hype, listen to everything that's going on, go out there, go down there and fall into all the distractions. No, that's not the case. You got to stay focused. You got to stay with the program and you got to stay mentally sharp and physically ready at all times. And not let the distraction get to you. You got to just block them out.
So, no naked keg stands on.
All right. Next up, we have Luke Easterling from Sports Illustrated, followed by Steve Isbitz.
Hey, Rob. Welcome to Tampa. Welcome back to the league. You mentioned the fact that you did go a long time between really doing any football work, at all. The current landscape of the world and what you're not allowed to go out and do in terms of working out and such. Do you feel like that's going to be a big challenge for you in getting ready for this season? And how are you kind of planning to attack that?
Yes, it's definitely going to be a challenge to get ready for the season, no doubt. It's a challenge every single year. It's going to probably be a bigger challenge, taking a year off and coming back. But, you know, I've been staying active. I've been staying busy. Not necessarily, I'm not going to lie, not necessarily with football stuff, but I've been keeping up my cardio. I've been keeping up staying in shape. I've been keeping up, you know, not full-time type football lifts and all that, but I've been doing that stuff periodically there and there. And it's just going to change now. That the mindset's going to have to change now that I'm going to be playing again. And that's time to start preparing. And that's also another reason why I wanted to come out of retirement now, you know, instead of wait until and think about the decision later on when the season started. I wanted to make sure, you know, I can get accommodated with the Tampa Bay area, you know, when we're allowed to go down there and get accommodated with my teammates and everything, if we even have an off season. But, you know, things are going to have to change a little bit now. I got to start getting football ready, get in the football shape, and get ready to go to play some games.
Let's take one more.
All right, next up is Steve Isbitz.
Rob, your initial impressions of Bruce Arians on the little bit you've gotten to talk to him so far, and especially maybe compare him to Bill Belichick and your quick impressions of those guys against each other.
Good.
You know, I just know that from many other players that have played for Coach Bruce Arians, they all told me that I'm going to love playing for him, and that's great to hear, and I'm looking forward to that, and I'm looking forward to meeting him in person. I've actually only talked to him for about a quick minute, you know, just got to meet and greet each other real quick over the phone, and I'm just super excited to meet him and super excited to play for him and the Tampa Bay organization and see what it's all about, you know. I really can't compare them. Coach Belichick and Coach Arians, I never, you know, got to play under Coach Arians yet. But, I've heard he's a football master also. And I love football. I love being around football masters when I'm in the building playing football. I love to learn from football masters. And Coach Belichick was definitely a football master. And it was an honor to learn from him a lot of the game of football. So it's just going to be cool now to go to Coach Arians and also learn from another coach that has, you know, a lot of background in the game of football.
You know, okay, we'll cut out of it and we'll replay any relevant stuff from Gronkowski today. He does sound like my third grader reading, you know, from a kid's book. And then like the way he speaks, it feels like he's reading.
He's tough to listen to, man.
You know?
He is. He's brutal.
But anyway, we'll get anything good, anything relevant that comes out of Gronkowski's introductory press conference today as a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll continue with your reaction to that, most importantly, and a little bit of news about the San Francisco 49ers' interest in Tom Brady and how that ties into this whole story. We'll have a thought on that in our long commercial-free segment next.
Dugger Sports, Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
When you're talking about one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time with Tom Brady, of course you're going to have some internal discussion. And then you hear rumors that, hey, he'd like to come home, that kind of thing. So, of course, Kyle and I have discussions. You know, but the cool thing, Rich, that we shared with Jimmy is that, you know, we forced ourselves. We're always into getting better. And so you look at everything, especially a situation like that. But within a day or two, Kyle and I looked at each other and said, you know what? We really like what we have in Jimmy. We love everything that he brings. And we really believe it's a long-term answer. And so that's you know, I would tell you we're more convicted than ever about who our quarterback is in Jimmy Garoppolo. Really excited about, despite the, you know, the challenges of getting better without a traditional offseason, that he can do that. The guy's done nothing but win since he's been here. A lot of people try to pick his game apart for whatever reason. All I know is the guy wins football games, and he's a tremendous teammate, very talented young man, and I think his best football's still ahead of him.
Okay, that's Niners GM John Lynch acknowledging that they talked about Tom Brady to the Niners in the offseason. Couple points here, Maz. One is he also acknowledges, tacitly, I think, that Brady pursued them. You know, he says you have to talk about it when you talk about arguably the greatest player of all time. And he says, I only say arguably because people in San Francisco still get hot and bothered about Joe Montana. So, you know, he sort of acknowledged that Brady is the greatest of all time. So you talk about it, which he acknowledged, especially when you hear he wants to come home, which I took to mean that when he expressed our interest in us, we have to talk about it.
Right.
But what he left out is the reason they did not go forward. And I believe the reason they did not go forward is because they couldn't find a good trade partner for Jimmy Garoppolo. In other words, if they could have flipped Garoppolo for a first round pick or something worthwhile, they would have done it, but they couldn't. And I picked that up from Chris Sims, who at the time was all over the Brady thing. All remember it? He was like, I think he was even as much as Jeff Darlington. You know, I think Chris Sims coming out of that weekend of the free agency said, San Francisco, something happened there. That's out. It's now between Tampa Bay and New England, and I think he's gone, and that's exactly how it went down, and the San Francisco thing fell off, and I think Sims had some juice there on this whole thing. And Sims then went on to say, subsequently, this. We pulled this cut. Jimmy, do you have it?
So this also has Colin on it.
Okay, go ahead, Colin.
I was told yesterday,
right,
even though I didn't understand it, that Garoppolo, if not on the market, they would have listened to calls. Can you give us some clarity now that it appears, you know, Brady's in Tampa, Garoppolo's going to be the guy?
Yeah, sure. No, you know, I knew a lot really about the situation and, you know, from both sides, from all angles. I knew some people that were, you know, connected to Brady where I had a feel of the situation. You know, I know some people in New England as well. I do think the Brady to San Francisco thing was a very real possibility.
Yep.
I think I know Brady wanted it.
Yep.
You know, I do think the 49ers, from my understanding, tossed around the idea. And I think that's where people, you know, maybe missed that conversation a little bit. And they just thought, oh, yeah, Brady to 49ers, are they just going to do that and swap out Jimmy G? No. You know, I think a big part of that was if you were going to make that move for a 43-year-old quarterback who maybe, you know, leaves after 1 year and just says, okay, I'm too old, it's over, you got to get a respectable trade offer for Jimmy Garoppolo, too. I think people are missing that piece of the puzzle. You weren't just going to swap out, you know, I know Brady's the GOAT, for Jimmy Garoppolo, who's just starting to hit the prime of his career, and just say, oh, we'll just make an even swap, and that's it. No, you know, I think a big factor with that would be the 49ers would have to have an offer and acquire some assets to go along with it to move on from Jimmy G.
Okay, and they didn't. And there was a time there, and I thought he went on to say that there was a time that if you had called the Niners on Garoppolo, they would have picked up. And I think that's all just a tacit way of saying the Niners were in on it, but they needed to get draft capital back on the Garoppolo trade that would allow them to draft the next guy after Brady. And they never quite got that good offer for Garoppolo, and it sort of timed out with, remember, out of nowhere, quote-unquote, Kirk Cousins re-signed in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kyle Shanahan's supposed to be obsessed for some reason or another with Kirk Cousins. And you came out of that weekend, and the report was Niners are done with Brady. It's down to Tampa. Kirk Cousins re-signs in Minnesota. And I think it all just, that was the conversation, and it didn't quite time out. They didn't quite get the offer for Garoppolo. They couldn't quite wait on Cousins, etc. And that's how it fell apart. But make no mistake, if the Niners had been satisfied on a Garoppolo trade, Brady would have gone there.
Yeah, I mean, again, I felt at the time somehow Cousins was related to it because of Shanahan's relationship with him. To me, there was a connection there to be drawn between those two guys. And, you know, when you really think about it, the Niners have to come clean on this. Like, part of me is listening going, why would Lynch admit this? Why would publicly he come out and say it? And then for the same reasons that we had the issue here with Garoppolo is that the same agent represents Brady and Garoppolo and Don Yee. And so if Garoppolo goes to his agent and says, hey, what's going on here? He's going to tell him the truth. The Niners couldn't hide it. So now I think there's also a measure of damage control with John Lynch going out there and saying, well, you know, we've won a lot of games. People pick apart this guy's game. All he does is win. Like, now they're trying to rebuild the relationship a little bit with Garoppolo, but he has to be hurt by it too.
Yeah, but if they thought they were going to get a first rounder back for him, they're delusional. You got him for a second. He has a bad injury history. His own head coach didn't trust him in the playoff run after that bad interception against Minnesota in the divisional round. He was straight up terrified of him and what mistakes he'd make at the end of the first half of the Super Bowl. Mistakes he ended up making in the fourth quarter with a 10-point lead, and you think you're getting a first rounder for him? No shot.
Well, but that's what they would have needed. So whether they
thought or not,
that's what I think it would have taken, and maybe not even a low first. You know, they wanted a premium pick, I think, or Cousins or something like that. Some, you know, and not that Cousins would have sat there behind Brady, but that was the mechanism to me. And that's the reason Brady didn't go to the Niners, because the Niners weren't willing to move on from Garoppolo because they couldn't find the right trade for Garoppolo. I think that's the missing piece to that whole puzzle. So you can weigh
amazing.
In on
the whole thing's amazing.
You can weigh in on that if you want. The question is, would Gronkowski have followed him to the Niners? And what do you do with Gronkowski and Kittle? Ooh, that would have been kind of fun with Brady. Brady, Kittle, and Gronkowski? Woo-hoo. Now you're talking. So you can weigh in on that if you like. The departure of Rob Gronkowski on the table. Right to your calls, I promise, after Murray's 90-second update. There is plenty of breaking news across the world of sports. The Red Sox punishment is in. There's a latest development on how the NHL is going to return. There's trade rumors with the Patriots. So there's a lot of stuff to unpack. You'll hear it here. No commercials. And we come back with your reaction.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.